Welcome. So imagine this scenario. Your company hires a really fantastic remote developer, super productive, seems reliable.
Checks all the boxes.
Right. But what if every line of code, every single dollar they earned, was actually being funneled somewhere else? Like secretly funding dangerous weapons programs for a hostile foreign regime.
Yeah, it sounds like something out of a movie, but it's not.
Not at all. This is the reality of a huge nationwide cyber fraud scheme the U.S. Department of Justice just brought to light. Today, we're going to unpack how foreign operatives, specifically from North Korea, exploited remote work right here in the U.S.
And what we want to do is help you understand how this whole operation worked, the mechanics of it, and you know what it means for businesses, for national security, but most importantly, what practical steps you can actually take to protect yourself or your company from these kinds of hidden threats.
Okay, so let's get into how they actually pulled this off.
Yeah.
The core of it was North Korean IT workers using stolen identities,
yeah,
or you know, completely fake ones,
right, fraudulent,
to get remote jobs with American companies. But the really insidious part was how they managed their presence here using what the feds called laptop farms.
Yeah, these weren't just like co-working spaces.
No.
These were specific locations set up just to manage equipment and access for these operatives. Think multiple workers cycling through the same laptops, the same IP addresses.
Ah, so it creates a sort of digital shell game.
Exactly. It made it incredibly difficult for a company to trace activity back to one person, let alone figure out they were working for a foreign state.
And the scale you mentioned. It's kind of mind-blowing. Coordinated raids, what was it, 16 states?
16 states, yeah. Sure. They seized nearly 200 laptops, dozens of servers, and about $1.5 million in funds tied to all this.
Wow. And what kind of jobs were these operatives getting? Were they just basic data entry or?
Oh, no, far from it. That's what's really striking. They managed to get into roles like software development, cybersecurity analysis, technical support, really embedding themselves.
And then hundreds of companies.
Hundreds, including private businesses, government contractors, even defense industries.
Defense industries, that's alarming.
It is. And every penny, millions of dollars in earnings, was routed back to North Korea. It completely bypassed international sanctions, directly funding their, you know, ballistic missile and weapons programs. This case really shows how, for them, sometimes bigger is better. Better, more operatives meant a bigger, steadier flow of illicit cash.
So we get the money part, the fraud. But you mentioned defense contractors. This wasn't just about the money, was it? There's more to it.
Absolutely not. That's the really chilling part. Beyond the financial fraud, think about the access they gained.
Right.
Sensitive company information, intellectual property, access to internal networks and systems. In one really disturbing case, they actually got their hands on export-controlled U.S. military technology from a defense contractor.
Wait, military tech?
Yeah. So it wasn't just theft for profit. It was potentially espionage, gathering data critical to, well, U.S. defense.
That just raises the stakes incredibly high.
It does. And it shows why law enforcement went after the whole network, not just individuals. They understood that disrupting this wasn't just about stopping fraud. It was about cutting off a key funding source for North Korea's military goals, which pose a direct threat globally.
Okay, this is a lot to take in. It really makes you think differently about remote hiring. So for people listening, what are the practical takeaways? What can companies actually do to protect themselves, especially with so much remote work now?
It's a really good question, and it forces a shift in thinking. First off, really thorough identity and background checks are crucial, not just checking the boxes, but really verifying who you're hiring, especially for roles with sensitive access.
And just for remote workers.
Or
everyone.
Well, especially critical for remote given the distance, but honestly, good practice overall. Also, consider using tools like geolocation, maybe device verification, to get a better sense of where people are really working from.
Okay. What else?
Reviewing your remote access policies is key. Strengthening endpoint security, you know, the security software on the actual laptops. And maybe one of the most important things, educating HR.
Ah, the hiring managers.
Exactly. Educate HR, hiring managers, even internal security teams about these kinds of social engineering tactics, what fraudulent applications might look like, because stopping it at the front door is the best defense. Staying informed about cyber threats linked to places like North Korea is just essential.
It really drives home that point, doesn't it? Remote work has huge benefits. We all know that.
Yeah.
But it definitely creates new openings, new vulnerabilities, and adversaries are clearly looking very hard for ways to exploit them.
Yeah. What's truly remarkable here, I think, isn't just how complex the scheme was, but this constant, like, cat and mouse game being played between global adversaries and, well, everyday businesses, it really raises a big question for all of us. In this super honor-connected world, how much of national security now actually rests on the day-to-day vigilance of individual companies and, you know, how carefully they hire people?